This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Is it strange I call you? Or do you think that I might forget all my love? It's radiating further away.
You're with the priest, the poem, and the poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Now we're a little short today. Usually it's the priest, the pom, and the poof, and of course our panelists. however, the priest and the pom have deserted me, so it's the poof and the panelists. So Andrew and Peter tonight. We're going to be talking about spiritual responses to global events. So we're kind of talking a little bit about how exactly do we respond, or how do we respond, or how do we feel about recent events around the world?
How it affects us emotionally, and how it also affects us, you know, the way we do our daily lives.
We're also going to be talking a little bit about the Surrender 11 conference, which is coming up this weekend. And also we're going to have a quick little look at Lenten traditions.
In the spirit spa.
We've also got music coming up from Cascada, Justin Bieber and Glee. If you'd like to join the conversation at any time, do send us a text.
On 0427 Joy 949. Or they can email the studio on air at joy.org.au.
Right now, we've got a little bit of a track coming up from the Newsboys, one of my favourite tracks of the moment. You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. You're with Andrew and Peter.
Yes. Well, we're going to be talking about spiritual responses to global events.
Yeah, so we kind of got to thinking, you know, there's so much stuff kind of happening in the world that it's kind of interesting to ponder why does this happen and what does that mean for your faith? So we had a quick look through, and some of the recent global events which come to mind are things like the floods in Queensland.
Yeah, Black Saturday here in Victoria.
Also, we've had pretty devastating floods in Victoria.
We've had definitely. Cyclone Yasi, also in Queensland.
And I guess a bit more recently, we've had massive earthquakes in Christchurch and also in Japan.
And Chile.
And Chile. And there's been that massive tsunami as well.
And Japan's also suffering from their nuclear reactor disaster at the moment.
Nuclear power issues. So it's kind of like, that's a pretty long list, I reckon. And they're all pretty major events.
They are.
So I kind of thought, well, how does that affect my faith? Like, how does it make me feel? What do you think about the issue?
Well, for me personally, it has made me feel depressed, and it has also made me feel at points I don't want to switch the news on, and at other times, it's kind of made me feel, well, here I'm in Australia, I feel, living here in Melbourne, I feel so blessed.
Do you think that maybe, like, some of my responses are really similar. Like, I actually switched off the news when it came on. I was like, oh, I watched it for about 10 minutes and I was like, I don't know that I can watch a wall of water devastating towns and people's lives and stuff. I'm like, I don't know whether I can watch this. So I kind of switched it off. And part of me was saying, oh, that's just, you know, trying to get a little bit of breathing room. And the other part of me was saying, you're totally putting your head in the sand about what's happening to everybody else. So I guess that's kind of one sort of a way that people can cope with it. And other people kind of get angry and cope with it that way by getting a bit riled up about what's happening.
Very true. I was going to say, my mother, who is a very strong Anglican woman, she's been seeing it as the end of the world type perspective. And I know for a certain segment in our society, they literally see this as doomsday with type of events occurring. And I think that is affects their both spiritual and emotional health.
Yeah, it's kind of really, it's really difficult. I don't know. I don't really like the idea of the end of the world coming, so I like to think that it's not.
I wouldn't see it. Me, personally, I don't see it as the end of the world. I just think, if I won't even use the expression that our leader of the opposition used recently about bad events, but it is what comes to mind. And, yes, things happen. So, one of the things, when you are feeling this, how do we respond to this so we can get ourselves in a better frame of mind? Because I think being depressed, feeling that, you know, possibly, you know, God's punishing us, some people have said that. I don't believe that personally, but some people have said that. And, you know, being in this doom and gloom type environment, what are some ways, Andrew, that we can, you know, respond to try and break this as our, you know, mental health?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that that I think is a useful tool is just taking some time for yourself. So, like, take a walk in the park and just kind of think, what if?
Well, yesterday I felt very blessed. I kind of got to walk along the Yarra. Actually, I did pop into Joy after walking through my trip through the Yarra. But it was a beautiful day yesterday. And at one point, I crossed the immigration bridge, and there's actually a little panel there that says Japan. And I kind of thought, well, I am very blessed. I live in a city that's at peace. They're not shooting at me like they are in Libya. I'm not suffering from a, you know, nuclear reactor disaster like they are in northern Japan. I'm not suffering the effects of a cyclone or a tsunami or flooding. And I did think, well, you can actually count off, you know, what's going right in my life and, you know, say a little prayer of thanks.
Yeah, I think that, and it's true, like every so often you'll see something that just kind of sparks that in you where you go, oh, that's a nice little timely reminder. So it's kind of an interesting thing to explore as well, the fact that we do have little reminders strategically placed around our city, whether it was put there by people or whether it's something from nature. It's kind of interesting. Everybody gets their own thing out of it.
I also think that with my walk, this was my meditative walk as well, and it was quite therapeutic, but I think taking time out to pray or to meditate and about what's happening in our world can also be a great response spiritually to help overcome what, you know, we're reading in the press, we're seeing on the television, we're hearing on the radio.
Yeah. Another way that I deal with it is sometimes I imagine myself being in that situation, which can be really scary. And I'd be like, oh, I don't really know what I would do. I don't really know what I would need. What would be helpful for me right now?
I can relate to the my mother at the moment's senior citizen, and there was a pretty terrible article, well, not terrible, an article in The Age actually on Saturday about what's happening to the over 65s and how even if they survive the tsunami, they're dying off from the cold. And I kind of thought, well, my mother's in that age bracket, and how would I go about trying to help her in such a situation? And I did actually place, from reading that article, place me in the situation and kind of think, yeah, things are pretty tough in Japan.
Yeah. Other examples of how you can actually respond to something like this is lots of people do donations. It's, yes. easy, and it's kind of like you're sacrificing a little bit of yourself, but it's just money.
Very true.
Also, another interesting an interesting take on it is you could perhaps phone a friend and share your views and have like a proper discussion about it. That can be one way of responding to the situation.
Well, as a community, I think that's a kind of creating as a community to cope through a situation. So I think always talking about it with people, and I'm not of the school that you shouldn't talk about things. I think you should talk about these things, and then it's out in the open. And one thing when we were talking about this before was I think you need to talk about with people who are vulnerable in our community. So that is our senior citizens and our young people who live in our community, because a child doesn't necessarily have the wherewithal of comprehending what they've seen or heard. And same with a senior person. They also feel like, oh, I'm too old now to run.
Mm.
And they feel extremely more vulnerable. So taking time to talk to seniors and getting to know, for me, personally, my next door neighbour is a senior citizen. So we actually end up having a little chat about issues that are going on in the world. And one of the things she and I both enjoyed was just having the conversation that, you know, we collectively as a community can look after each other.
Hmm. There's a few little responses there.
Yes.
So we've got another way of responding is to write a song about your concerns. We've got a track here from Justin Bieber. It's called Pray. You're on Joy 94.9. You're in the Spirit Lounge with Andrew and Peter. If you'd like to join in our conversation, text us in 0427 Joy 949
or email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, we've had a couple of people text in, which is really good. As a neo-pagan, I merely accept these events as forces of nature at work, not as a punishment, but just as natural yet unfortunate occurrences. I don't defy nature and the elements. I just respect it and accept my own human limitation. So that's a bit of a reflection via text message from Ben. Thanks, Ben. And just to give a little bit of context, we are talking a little bit about responses to recent world events and how that can affect your spirituality and those sorts of things. We've had another text in, which is, worry about yourself, your own life, and your own loved ones. Give thought to those less fortunate, but don't take on the negative and the negative news as it spills out. And don't dwell on things. So that's from Anonymous. Thanks very much for your thoughts. If you do want to join the conversation, do text in 0427-JOY949.
Or on air at joy.org.au.
Now, we've been talking about things that have been happening far-flung places. So, stuff that's been happening kind of over in Japan and in the Pacific Islands and all that kind of stuff. What about local tragic events? Like, in Victoria, we've had our fair share of natural disasters.
We've had flooding. We have about a quarter of the state underwater this year. And if you think about 12 months ago, we had that massive hailstorm here in the city.
Huge hailstorm, so much damage. And we've also had 2 years ago now, the Black Saturday bushfires, which we're, of course, still recovering from. I would say we're still reeling from the damage.
Oh, definitely. Both the psychological and the physical damage, definitely.
Mm.
So, what are some practical things we can do, Andrew, to try and help our own local community?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking about practical responses because the disaster has occurred a little bit closer to home. We're able to do something a bit more practical. Like, for example, I'm not really going to be able to fly over to Japan. Don't know whether I'd be that much use to help them, but I can make a little day trip down to Marysville.
I believe you have done that recently.
Yeah, yeah. On the weekend, I actually went to this little town just outside of Reedsdale, which is kind of in the Macedon Ranges area.
Yes.
I did some help with Habitat for Humanity, which I bang on about all the time. I think they're a great organization. So basically, we were helping to recover properties after fire had gone through. So there was a whole. I spent the weekend kind of clearing out old, burned out fences, burned out wire fences.
Okay, well, that's a practical help. I liked when I saw in Queensland after they had their massive flooding that the day after, volunteers who weren't affected just came up with a big clean-up. And I think, I hope that the same happened here in Victoria, but I think that's always something. You know, your next-door neighbour may have a kitchen fire or some other local tragedy. They're all laughing. I will confess.
A kitchen fire. Tell us this little tangent about a kitchen fire, for example.
A few years ago, when I was 20, I cooked my parents' kitchen, okay? And yes, it is a major catastrophe when you lose your kitchen. You, A, can't cook, and B, insurance assessors take forever to analyze what you're actually getting. And then once they finally agree to pay, you then have to clean up your own mess first, or the fire, and then they come in and put a brand spanking new kitchen in. But it is quite traumatic, and I can thank our neighbors where I grew up having provided, you know, things to eat and try and take away some of the trauma from me having cooked the kitchen.
So your neighbours kind of displayed a little bit of practical assistance.
Yeah, practical assistance. Hmm. So, and I just think that's always something that can be good that you can do through or any local events. Is volunteering in your community. There's senior citizens, even just little things. Neighbours might need to have help because they're old, bringing in the bins.
Yeah. I wrote down a few little ideas just before the show. I thought, oh, you know, you can put in sweat time, like you can go away for however many weekends and go and work in these places, but you can also help with the administration of services to affected groups of people. So getting involved with the organisation.
Well, if you've got a skill like you're an electrician or a plumber, you can go and donate. But your skill may be in law, so you can help, you know, people who are having legal issues regarding dealing with insurance companies and other such issues. Or, you know, your skills could be able to cook. So, you know, kitchen's flooded out because it's underwater, go and cook a cake for somebody.
My mother does that. Whenever there's a tragedy, always chocolate chip cookies.
Sounds fantastic.
She's amazing. I love her chocolate chip cookies. There's also like another way that you can show your response to a situation is perhaps by rallying others around you or spreading word about the practical things that other people are doing. So It's kind of like marketing.
Well, marketing. And I thought also things like we talk about Joy the Priest, and she's wonderful at encouraging people, because normally when tragedy hits, the one thing you kind of, some people, well, I'm not saying everybody does this, is they just want to sit there. And sometimes they just need that little helping hand, push up, so that they can get on with their life again after tragedy struck. And that can be other people's gift to being able to, you know, speak words of positive, so that it just pushes them in the right direction.
Yeah, there's always that little bit of get up and go, or that little bit of support that somebody provides you can mean so much. So, it's interesting. And the other thing is that through doing these more practical responses to global issues, so perhaps not being as reflective about it, is that you also can kind of get passionate about something and, you know, go and form relationships with people who are from the affected groups and affected places where these tragedies have occurred. There's quite a few examples where you can do that.
Yeah, practical responses are always good, you know, getting involved with community groups. There's the SES, CFA, if you're in a country location, always can be useful for helping people.
Hmm. And we've got a little bit of a track coming up, and when we get back, we're going to be talking briefly about the Surrender 11 conference. This track is What Hurts the Most by Cascader.
Take the rain on the roof of this empty house.
Hello, this is Katie Lang on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. If you'd like to join in the conversation at any time, send us a text 0427 Joy 949
or email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, you might remember earlier this year, we spoke to an interesting guy named Ralph Riley, and he was encouraging us all to take a little bit of a sabbatical and do an exchange program of a different type, going on an exchange to a Asian slum. So it's kind of an interesting way that he explores his faith through promoting this program. And he mentioned the Surrender Conference, which is actually coming up. It's on this weekend. Surrender is a conference that has just one big idea, to see more people fired up to follow Jesus to the margins of society, to stand in solidarity with the poor, and to work for justice for the oppressed.
The Surrender website says, since it first ran it in 2004, the mission of Surrender has been to invite, inspire, and form an emerging generation to respond to the radical call of Jesus. The name of Surrender is an identity that invites a joining with the Jesus who pours out his life in loving the lost and the least. As followers of this Jesus today, we must be his hands and feet in a hurting world, giving a voice to God's call to be the news to the poor.
And of course, out of this comes opportunities to join mission groups and organisations to encourage the broader church to engage the world facing injustice and to financially support communities and individuals who are already doing these things.
Surrender exists to see people move from interest to action by becoming personally involved in different expressions of Christ's mission amongst the poor, joining or forming covenant communities, serving the poor in Australia or developing world countries, and advocating on behalf of the voiceless.
Surrender also creates space and time for a gathering of the tribes, a coming together of those who are already committed to or involved in incarnational mission amongst the poor. Also at the heart of Surrender is our desire to continue to provide a platform for voices from poor and disadvantaged communities, especially Aboriginal and regional Indigenous groups.
Surrender is an organisation organised by the Salvation Army, Tear Australia, Urban Neighbours of Hope, Urban Seed, and the Victorian Council of Christian Education.
They've got some exciting speakers as well. Deborah Story, Mark Sayers, Jared McKenna, Graham Paulson, and they've got a long, long list of other speakers as well. They're also having Shane Claiborne come and visit. He's going to be speaking. He's a founding partner of The Simple Way, which is a radical community that that lives amongst and serves the homeless in Kensington, which is in North Philadelphia. So it's looking at kind of urban poor issues in the Western world, as well as kind of other places. Shane's also the author of a number of books, including The Irresistible Revolution. So it certainly sounds like a very exciting conference.
Andrew, I believe you are going. Is this correct?
I'm hoping to get along to two of the days. So they've got like a Friday night type thing, and then on the Saturday as well. So I'm hoping to get along to that.
What do you hope to achieve from going?
I was thinking about this. I was kind of a little bit afraid that you'd ask this question. And I thought, I don't really know what to expect. So I don't really know what I'm going to achieve out of it. I'm hoping that with all these kind of exciting people that think differently to me in one place, that I'll be able to be challenged and that my kind of way of life and the things that I'm passionate about might rub off on other people as well. So it's kind of like a little bit of a gathering together and rubbing together to see what comes out of that experience.
Well, if you'd like to know more information, you can head to the website, which is surrender.org.au, and the dates is the 25th to 27th of March at Belgrave Heights Convention Centre.
So it's nice and close. If you feel like you'd like to know more, you can head on to the website.
Well, we're going to head to a song now, and this is my choice, and this is the Glee version of One of Us.
Hi, my name is Josh Thomas, and you're listening to Joy 949, which is it's for gay people.
Well, Andrew, I'm going to ask you to strip off naked and join me in the Spirit Spa. Are you ready?
Spirit Spa. Only if there's bubbles. I'm not getting in unless there's bubbles.
I can create bubbles if you like. But that has multiple meanings. Well, we're going to talk about Lent. It is a Christian tradition, and we have been in it now for over a week. So I think it's a great time to talk about it. And do you know what Lent is, Andrew?
I do. You do? Perhaps a little refresher.
Well, Lent is the Christian tradition in the period of the liturgical year from Ash Wednesday to Easter. The traditional purpose of Lent is the preparation of the believer through prayer, repentance, almsgiving, and self-denial for the annual commemoration during Holy Week of the death and resurrection of Jesus, which recalls the events linked to the Passion of the Christ and culminates in Easter, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. According to the canonical Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus spent 40 days fasting in the desert before beginning his public ministry, where he endured temptation by Satan. Thus, Lent is described as being 40 days long through different denominations, calculates the 40 days differently, but it is widely celebrated throughout the Christian community. And
so that's a little brief summation.
We thank Wikipedia for that.
We do thank Wikipedia. Thank you for using all those words.
<That's> fine. When we were talking about this, we were looking up what to give up. Do you have some suggestions, Andrew?
Look, I'm a little bit of a carbon giver-upperer, or I'm trying to be, and I'm doing this thing called the carbon fast. So every day, for the 40 days, there's like 40 tips for reducing your carbon footprint. And some of them are more challenging than others. So one of them was take shorter showers. So then you heat up less hot water and you reduce your consumption. So that's, you know, that's manageable.
That's well, you're also saving water as well, which is a precious resource.
Yes. Some of the others are a little bit more challenging. Like one of them was, and don't laugh at me because I think this is challenging, giving up ironing. Just stop ironing for all of Lent. Can you imagine?
I would love to be able to say to work, look, as part of my religious practice, I've given up ironing. And they would all look at me and thinking, no, you're just being bone lazy. But it is true. It does use electricity. And you're using up the world's resources for something that doesn't really need to be done in certain regards.
I don't know. I would disagree about the fact that it needs to be done. But anyway.
Just because you iron and starch your underwear.
I do have a little bit of an ironing fetish. there's some other ones which are a little bit more kind of, I guess, a little bit more abstract. So one of them is shrink your consumer appetite. Think about, do you really need something before you buy it, or do you just want it?
I think that's an important thing because we do live in the throwaway age where people buy things and take it and then dispose of it. And I think we should be really thinking about what we really need versus, you know, what is just a want that doesn't need to be satisfied.
There's a few other people doing this 40 days of carbon fasting, 40 tips to fast from carbon. And one girl mentioned that she chose a distance from her house, and any trip that is underneath that distance, she must walk. So her distance is 2 miles, which I think by my rough calculations is about 4 Ks. So that's quite a considerable distance. That's quite a sacrifice to have to walk that far. I would be trying to ride my push bike that far.
I did walk to the Joy Studios today via work, but so that was. I live a few k's out of the city in Port Melbourne, so...
It is a few k's.
It is a few k's, so it is very doable and it is an enjoyable walk. The weather's fantastic.
Hasn't started raining yet. There's other ones that you can do which are kind of mindless, which is turn your thermostat down a little bit.
That's important. And avoid plastic bags.
But you don't have to do this carbon fasting thing. This is just what I'm doing for Lent to remind myself.
I've given up chocolate, but you can also do all luxury foods. So if you can, you know, live a little bit simpler with the food.
I've also given up caviar.
We've all given up caviar at the moment. I don't know if it's... But you can also look at where your food comes from and try and get stuff produced locally. A, it helps local economy, but B, we don't need those food miles adding up for the carbon footprint.
That's true. That goes right back to my carbon fast thing. And what about another popular one is giving up drinking. So no more wine and no more beer, no more vodka, boys.
Can I say, when I was up at Mardi Gras, I had my first vodka Red Bull and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a huge pick-me-up. So I personally haven't given up the alcohol, but I know it is a popular one. One we did come across, this came from the internet, so we did comment on it quite a bit, giving up sex for Lent.
That's quite a challenge.
I don't know what the benefit was, but we did see that it has been in the Christian tradition for a long time to give up sex for Lent.
I think that one's more like a bit of a suggestion.
Probably is a bit of a suggestion.
But all of these things, like, why are we giving them up? What's the point?
Well, I've given up chocolate, and there is no, in some ways, real reason for giving up chocolate. It's not like I've decided suddenly, you know, what I might spend on a chocolate bar, the $3 given to charity, which I should probably think about. I do that. But we live in a culture where everything, it's instant coffee, you know, everyone expects everything now, instant gratification. And this is a way of saying, no, I don't need to live that way, and there are benefits for not living that way with regard to our society. And one thing is to learn to live with less. My father, who had gone through the horrors of the Second World War, this was one thing he always taught me as a lesson he learnt having gone through German occupation in the Netherlands, and we can always learn to live with less. And I think it's an important lesson to live, because just because you can afford it and just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
That's true. But I think a lot of these things, like, for me, when I'm giving up things for Lent, so say, for example, if I had given up biscuits, for argument's sake.
I don't think you could do that.
No more biscuits.
You would not cope.
I know. For one, that cookie jar at work would be full. But I guess the idea behind it for me, and this is just kind of like my reflection, is that kind of acts as a reminder of like, oh, what am I giving up? You know, so there's that temptation to kind of go and eat the cookie and it's still sitting there. Like, it's reminding me every day.
It does increase temptation when you give something up. Amazing every time I walk into a 7-Eleven now, how I see the chocolate stand. It's there and I know about it.
But does it make you think about the Easter story?
It does. It makes me... I've done it for a number of years, and I used to as a child. I grew up in an Anglican family, so doing this was always part of my tradition and always helps me remember my family from doing it. But I think I do it now because I want to be able to set limits on myself. And if you just go free-for-all, where are the limits? And I think this is part of discipline, and I don't think discipline's probably practice that much these days. There are some people who are very disciplined at what they do, and this is a way of me disciplining myself to say, okay, when I'm coming home and I'm tired at work, I don't need a Kit Kat. I don't need to pop into the 7-Eleven on the way home. I can just go home and make myself a cup of tea, which is a lot healthier, and also make me use that time as a reflection.
Very interesting. Interesting traditions there. So, as in the next couple of weeks leading up to Easter, maybe there's some ideas for things that you might like to give up. Who knows? If you have another great idea or more ideas for my carbon fasting, text us in 0427 joy949, or you can email
onair@joy.org.au.
Now we've got a few messages, I think.
Hi, I'm Kylie Minogue, also known as Kylie from Camberwell, and I'm a proud Joy member, number 285.
Wow, Andrew, we're in the spirit spa and we're nude and creating lots of bubbles, but...
You're creating bubbles. I just pressed that button over there and it made bubbles come out.
And we're talking about why we should give things up. And I think one of the most important reasons why we need to learn to do with less is to save the planet.
It is. There's also some, other suggestions, living more for justice and simplicity to achieve a bit more inner peace and harmony.
Yeah, that's true. And also think to help your neighbour is an important part of sacrificing. If you go and say, I don't know, I've got a little old lady who lives next door, and I love bringing her bins in and things like that. But that's also an aspect of... rather than just seeing it about me, but seeing about other people during this time of Lent.
So, learning to live with less. That's quite a challenge. Quite a challenge, I think. I must say that Lent has been a little bit of a challenging time for me with my decision to do carbon fast. So, I've been kind of trying to not have any lights on at home. Don't use the dryer. Don't do the ironing.
Well, that is a big thing. And I think even learning to pull all the appliances out of the wall and making sure they're all fully switched off, because even when they're in standby, they are using electricity and it's something that they don't need to be doing.
It can be a challenge as well. When you're doing it, it can show the people around you kind of what you're like. It draws attention to what you're doing, I guess. So my housemate has been extremely supportive in this carbon fasting idea. Went out and bought a plasma screen. Great.
Oh,
thanks
wow.
for that. Great. So I don't know whether as a household, don't know whether we'll be consuming much less, but you know, we'll see. At least he's aware of it. Now, that's about time. That's about all we have time for on tonight's Spirit Lounge. We'll see you again next week, and we should have the full compliment back. We should have the priest, the pom, and the poof.
Well, good night. Thanks for having me again, Andrew, as well.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.